You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So check out the site. We've got our off-season position rankings there. We went through the quarterbacks. We'll have some more this week, as well as looking at the coaching rankings and our series of breaking down teams' depth charts. All good advanced scouting there for fantasy football that you can check out on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're starting a new week here, and we look at different aspects of what's going on. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the rankings across positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Yesterday, with our previous shows last week, we did a look at the news and notes going into OTAs. Well, now we're going to look at some early mock draft action. It's always fun to look at mock drafts in May in fantasy football, see what the industry is thinking. And we participated one. We set one up on Fantasy Pros to see how things played out with the expert consensus rankings, and did an auto pick there to see what kind of players we would get at each spot in the draft. So we'll focus on that on this week's show. We'll break it down for you. We'll go four shows this week. We'll break it down as a 17-rounder here, that typical there in a standard league. So go through four rounds at a time on our show, and really go in-depth pick by pick and what you should be thinking there. So go through the first 48 picks and so on and so forth there. And just how things are playing out, look at individual selections, 1 through 12 in each round, and also the round as a whole and what we see coming out of it, and to help you better dominate your fantasy football draft. When it's come time to do it for real there in August, if you do a lot of practicing now in May, you'll get better, and I'd really suggest you do as many mock drafts as you can, even at this time of year, just to kind of see how it evolves from there before we learn a lot more about players and teams here in the off-season program. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends trip. Book your own Hotels.com trip and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. All right, let's dive into the first round of the mock draft consensus based on Fantasy Pros and how things are playing out. Well, as you can imagine, the first pick comes down to deciding which of the elite running backs you're taking. And I think there's already debate here, so that's a good place to start here. Number one, a lot of people are into Saquon Barkley. He's been the consensus number one running back ranked, and I get it why. Centerpiece of the Giants offense. He's a pass-catching stud as well as a big-time back. Also finishes plenty in the red zone, really is what makes that offense tick, and it should be even more so without Odell Beckham Jr. there in New York. So there's all that to like. Then the debate between Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott is developing into a good one here early in this mock drafting sense. And you look at Elliott, people point to Elliott's involvement in the passing game, and now he's in an offense with Amari Cooper where there takes pressure off him. He's going to get his offensive line back healthy. And you look at these guys, they play in the NFC East, both of them, so their schedules are somewhat similar, except for a different place team that they face. And so the Cowboys get harder teams right there versus the Giants, who finish near the bottom there. So that schedule is not that easy for either guy, so that's kind of a wash. I mean, the biggest difference is the teams have to play each other twice. So Ezekiel Elliott gets the Giants twice, while Saquon Barkley gets the Cowboys twice. And we know in that scenario, Elliott kind of wins that because the Cowboys are pretty strong up front overall. But these are just two immense talents that you look at, and you really can't say that you're wrong going with either at this point. I mean, Elliott is a guy that's consistently done it here. He's a slightly older back. Barkley shot out of the gate, did things right away as a rookie with that rookie of the year type season. So these two guys are just special feature backs. Their teams are not going to scale back this workload. Longer, if I want to go with line play and a little bit more reliability with history, I think you'd go Elliott there with the first pick. If you want to go Barkley, just based on what you saw last year and know he's a special back in his own right, I think physically the talent is very similar. So it's splitting hairs here, but I think if you're a PPR, I would lean a little bit more towards Barkley, just barely, because Elliott did get involved in the pass game a little bit more. But your standard, I might lean more towards Elliott, because I think the touchdown variance is going to be there, where Elliott's probably going to be well over double-digit touchdowns, so that raises his value. With Barkley, you're not sure with the Giants' offense if they transition to Daniel Jones. Without Odell Beckham Jr., are they going to be in as many scoring positions? While you know the Cowboys with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup are there. So that's how I would split it right now. Barkley, PPR, Elliott in standard. And I think it just comes down to these two, because these are the two guys I trust the most when you look at true feature backs in this league. So one versus two, we do that debate. We move to three here. Now, in this mock draft, we had nine wide receivers taken in the first 12, or running backs taken in the first 12 picks, two wide receivers and one quarterback. So you probably know who the quarterback is. We won't get to him quite yet here, but looking at this round, you have a decision here. Who's the workhorse you go for next? You have Melvin Gordon, only Austin Eckler behind him, Christian McCaffrey, only the rookie Jordan Scarlett there. Todd Gurley is the rookie Daryl Henderson. You got Alvin Kamara with Latavius Murray as his new backup in New Orleans. So how do you go there? I mean, there's a good case for McCaffrey given his volume, and it's North Turner, still the same offense, still going to channel a lot through him. I don't know if they'll throw to him as much with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore becoming bigger factors there in Carolina. I think the guy that scares me here in this particular spot, and he went number five in this particular mock draft, is Todd Gurley. I think the knee injury could be a little chronic here. The volume was really weighing on him literally last year, and you have Daryl Henderson coming in. They want that change of pace, guy that can spell Gurley a little bit more, cut down his touches more into that 15 to 20 range from week to week. I'm not saying I'm totally scared off. I mean, he's still an elite back, but when you look at McCaffrey versus Gurley, I have McCaffrey being the more durable, younger back, and that's how I lean. So he's a guy that I'm looking at really as that number three there in the mock. And Melvin Gordon, again, no slouch. I think some people have him a little bit lower. But to me, Gordon, again, has that better baseline, a little bit safer than Gurley at this point. I think, and Alvin Kamara, there's a case that he's safer as well. But so they had six running backs go here in the top six picks, six for six here. That makes a lot of sense. Running backs are back as the feature situation here. So there's a couple other guys in that consideration for the first round. I think you look at David Johnson. Everyone is looking for a big rebound season from David Johnson with Cliff Kingsbury in there. They're not going to underuse him at all. You're going to see Johnson do his thing and be very explosive there. And that's good to see. James Conner and Le'Veon Bell, I think this is fun because these guys are consistently ranked right next to each other. And I think there's some people that don't want Bell necessarily. Conner is in the offense where he's the centerpiece that you know is established. They lost Antonio Brown, so they're going to have some help in the passing game more from James Conner there. And while Bell's going to the Jets, we're not sure exactly how things are going to play out with Sam Darnold. We're sure not even sure right now that Adam Gase is totally buying into Bell with all the controversy that's come out of the Jets. So David Johnson, I like it, the aggressiveness of thinking he's going to have a rebound season. I think everyone's already on that. So it's not going to be like a sleeper that slips into round two. Everyone realizes that he's got an offensive-minded coach who's going to make that happen. So those are the nine running backs they're taken in the first round. When you go around to the corner, the running back ones end up at Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and Dalvin Cook. So a lot of good options there where you feel all the way through the second round that you can get a high-end RB1, even if you don't get one in round one. But they're going to go pretty fast, so you want to nail one of these guys down here pretty quick. But it's kind of self-corrects itself after a while, where it's going back to the running backs. We were wide receiver heavy, but that trend is gone. We have too many talented feature backs here that we look at. So definitely changing their the guard back to the bread and butter, the meat of fantasy football, if you will. Another thing that I have to tell you is today's show is brought to you by Grip 6. And with Grip 6, their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, and even moms and wives. They're ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and low profile on the buckle, laying flat against the waist, making belts from Grip 6 super comfortable. No holes, no flap, no bulk. Check out their special offer Grip 6 has for you at grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. Now, let's continue looking at the rest of this first round. We talked about the nine running backs. The first quarterback off the board is Patrick Mahomes. And I think there's a minor red flag with Patrick Mahomes. The schedule is a lot more difficult than it is for the Chiefs than it was last year. Tyreek Hill doesn't look like he's going to be available. They lost Chris Conley. They lost Demetrius Harris. So there are some concerns. Mahomes, is he still the number one quarterback in fantasy going into 2019? I would say yes. But overall, I don't see him being above and beyond. As a little bit of a spoiler alert, we won't be talking about quarterbacks for a little while here. We will bring up a few more before our look at rounds 1 through 4 and the mock draft is over. But at this point, I don't think he's above and beyond everyone else to have that 3-round difference to look at it in round one. I think I'd still rather think about running back here. I know it's hard to pass up when a guy had 50 touchdowns, but there's going to be a regression to the mean. We've seen that before with the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning's touchdown season. It's a hard pace to keep up because no player has really done it before. He would be the first one to, if he pushes even 50 touchdowns again, to even think that he can do it. He's definitely talented enough to do that, but there are some things, again, with the schedule, the supporting cast, that you would downtick Patrick Mahomes. So I think this is pretty high. This is something I would not do. I don't think it's totally nuts to take him in the first round, but something that I would shy away from. So you wonder which wide receivers are going. This is a good question. I think the one unquestioned wide receiver that should be off the board, number one, is DeAndre Hopkins. He's just too special of a wide receiver and consistent. We know he's going to get the numbers some way, somehow. He's what Antonio Brown used to be. He had that baseline of 6 catches for 60 yards. If he didn't have the big yardage game, he usually mixed in a touchdown there. Hopkins is there. He's got one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football there in Deshaun Watson. Will Fuller and Kiki Coutee can take pressure off him, both fully healthy. Hopkins is the man, best wide receiver in the game to me, and best producing wide receiver that you can trust most, and that's a guy produces like a running back in the position, you can go there. Now, the next wide receiver that you would look at, I think it would be a debate if you're going to wide receiver versus going into Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was the 10th wide running back off the board in this particular draft. Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I think why Odell Beckham is going so high is people are excited by the upside, the hype, and all that. But to me, Odell also stands out because of the touchdowns potential, and this is a good spot for him to really keep those touchdowns up. And Davante Adams, the guy, went right after him. Julio Jones really upped the ante with the touchdowns last year in the second half of the season, and Michael Thomas. So good debate here at the end. I think Michael Thomas has that solid floor. I think Odell Beckham Jr. has the higher ceiling, and he's there. Davante Adams, you're worried about if the touchdowns could scale back a little bit, but Beckham, I think, gives you the best of both worlds, the big playability, the big yardage game, possibility playing off the Jarvis Landry with Baker Mayfield there, good schedule there for the Browns overall. And Beckham, there's a good argument to be made that he belongs there in that spot, because easily I could see him put him up 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns with Mayfield in Cleveland in an offense that's going to open things up and throw a lot more downfield, and Beckham being a big part of that early. So Beckham's the upside home run type play. I think Adams is solid. You're going to be fine with that, but you may not get those big yardage games. Julio Jones, you may not get the touchdowns. Michael Thomas, solid, but maybe not the spectacular you're looking for. So that's a good debate there. But when you look at this kind of tier of five wide receivers here, I think this is the normal place you would go to have a little bit of separation there. Now, before we dive into the second round, we've got to take a break here to talk about sex. Good sex, guys. And that means we have to talk about BlueChew.com. Remember when you were always ready to go? Well, now there's a way to increase your performance in bed whenever the opportunity arises. It's BlueChew.com. And yeah, it's easy to remember. It's blue like the color blues, BlueChew. BlueChew is the first chewable that has the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so there's a lot of trust there. You can take them any day, any night, even when you're on a full stomach. And as the name implies, Blue Chew is chewable, and they can work twice as fast as a pill, so you're always ready at a moment's notice. And it's something that every guy should think about trying, not just for those that are looking for a little extra boost, just to feel better with more confidence in bed. And you can feel confident in buying Blue Chew as well, because it's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. So none of that awkwardness of an in-person doctor visit or needing to wait in the pharmacy to get the tablet you're looking for. Blue Chew is made in the USA, prepares and ships direct, cheaper than a pharmacy for you, and even cheaper now with a special offer. If you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment free using the special promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And grateful that they are sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here, starting to look at rounds 2 through 4 in the Consensus Fantasy Pros Mock Draft. All right, let's dive right into round 2. We talked about a little bit with the debate that you had as the second wide receiver off the board. DeAndre Hopkins was there in this particular draft, 9th overall. Beckham went 12th, Devontae Adams 13th, Julio Jones 14th, and Michael Thomas 15. Now, Joe Mixon is the guy interesting there in between all this. And Joe Mixon, I think there's an uptick there with Zach Taylor coming in. And there's not too much downside with Joe Mixon. I think for me personally, I would go old school if I'm at the corner to get two running backs here, because they're going to start dropping off a little bit. I think we're going to read about that drop off here as we get into round 4. So I'm a guy where I think the values of wide receiver are a little bit better. That's what you look at later versus running back. So if I'm at the bottom of this part, I'm definitely looking more at a running back, because you have a chance to get two RB1s, a rare thing that can really change the game in fantasy football. Then you can go for some higher upside wide receivers later in terms of taking flyers and doing that, where it's harder to find those type of values at running back later that can turn into elite performers. So I think that's how you look at it there in this back end, if you can do that. Now, the other debate here at the beginning of round 2 and the snake is, do you go back-to-back on wide receiver? I think that's really going to put you in a tough spot. And the couple teams that did that here, they had to take some chances on guys, hoping that their workload would work out here. And so that's what plays out. It's always not about just the round and what you're picking then, but what you're getting later, the opportunity cost of going that way in a particular round. And that's what you see here is, you had a team that took DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas. They had to settle for Aaron Jones as their number one running back, which will make you a little uncomfortable there. This other team that picked 12th had Odell Beckham Jr. and Devontae Adams back-to-back at the turn, ended up with Josh Jacobs and David Montgomery. So that's not as bad, but Josh Jacobs is their RB1. So just a little bit of unknown and uncomfortability there if you do that route with the back-to-back wide receivers. I think if you're going to go back-to-back with a position or double up there in the first two rounds, I think the better strategy is going running back or running back. Again, the values of wide receiver are a little bit better later than they are at running back and guys that can really take over. Now, it's a good, interesting debate as we get to the middle of this round. Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook, Damian Williams as well. These are the last of the, so to speak, true backs that I'm confident about with durability issues and workload and all that that I can trust totally. So Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook, and I think Damian Williams is borderline on this tier, but this is your 12 running back tier of RB1 status. And Dalvin Cook, I like maybe a little bit more than Nick Chubb. I think the offense, there's more mouths to feed in Cleveland that are higher level. Well, Dalvin Cook is going to be a centerpiece of the Vikings offense. And I think their offensive line has improved as much in having Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen create the attention, create more in the passing game. I see Cook is clearly the third option on that team in the passing game and a heavy workload type back in the running game. While Nick Chubb, if Duke Johnson hangs around a little bit, he's not going to get the passes caught there. So in a standard, I think I go Nick Chubb. In a PPR, I go Dalvin Cook pretty easy there. And that's why Mixon's ahead of both of them, because he can do all that on both sides. We look at the next couple of guys, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. I find this amusing that Connor and Bell and running back are right next to them. So are Brown and Smith-Schuster. So the former teammates here. And Smith-Schuster, I'm just feeling it a little bit more because he is in the uptick. He's only 22 years old. He's the guy that they want to make the centerpiece there with Ben Roethlisberger, while Antonio Brown has to be a downgrade. He's going to Derek Carr in an offense that may not be as explosive, where Smith-Schuster now becomes the centerpiece. And he'll grab a little bit more attention, but he's a guy that they can move around. He's very good in the slot. He's very good at getting open, hands routes and all that. He's a guy that's kind of matchup-proof to me, Juju Smith-Schuster, because of the way they can get him away from number one corners. While Antonio Brown is 30, the things could show up there where the deterioration happens. So I'm thinking with these guys, Juju Smith-Schuster, this is ranked well. And I think there's potential here as you look at drafts that Juju Smith-Schuster will continue to rise aboard, challenge maybe the Michael Thomas and Julio Jones spot. I think it's hard to put him over Adams because Adams has that big touchdown consistency that it's hard to duplicate at the position, and clearly still the big number one Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers there fully healthy. So I think that's about where the cutoff would be with Juju Smith-Schuster, around the fifth wide receiver that you would look at, and definitely has higher upside than Antonio Brown. Now, this one was a little bit bizarre that Travis Kelce went here with the fourth last pick here in round two. I don't even think he's the best tight end. George Kittle went there at pick number 24 a few picks later. So, again, too early to take a tight end. I don't know if that's going to happen as much in your draft, but these are tight ends that are transcendent, and I can see why they have a little bit more appeal, get that elite chip player there at that position. But I don't know if I'm going to pay up for Travis Kelce or George Kittle or Zach Ertz. I don't know if you need to do that and pass up on some guys you get later, you really take a hit. I mean, this team that took George Kittle at 24 overall had to settle for Lamar Miller as their RB2. Well, they had a shot at the likes of Marlon Mack and Leonard Fournette, Philip Lindsay there, and then this team that took Travis Kelce, their opportunity cost was wide receiver, and ended up with Kenny Galladay as their number one. Not a bad guy to have as your number one as a wide receiver one, but trickle down, Calvin Ridley and Will Fuller there, where he had a shot at guys like Stephon Diggs and Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen there instead, and going in that direction. So keep that in mind. If you take a tight end this early, it's going to have trickle down where you're going to be possibly hurt at wide receiver and running back as things shake out and guys kind of jump on players at other positions. Now, we look at next guy and wide receiver off the board, Mike Evans. That's solid. These are teams that are filling it out. So now if you're in the top half of the draft, the first six picks in a 12-team league, and it snakes back to you, you're probably looking at a programmed situation where it's running back one, wide receiver one. Solid, that kind of flexible draft. It gives you flexibility going forward. One exception here is a team that got Ezekiel Elliott and Damian Williams. I think that makes sense. Again, Marlon Mack, you feel good about coming off next, early there in the third round, but I think there's definitely a bit of a question mark there with Damian Williams and guys that come after him if you trust them as much. So this person decided to get Damian Williams versus go for T.Y. Hilton or A.J. Green, two older wide receivers, still productive, and that's what we saw here, and I think that's the place where you might. So I would say a lot of people are going to go running back one, wide receiver one, but probably two exceptions here at the back end of round two to have one person go RB1 and RB2, and that person will be an RB2 because you'll probably have 12 go off the board before, say, if you're the second overall pick, picking 23rd, you're probably going to see most of the RB1s go off, if not all of them. So that's what you're sold for, but if you have an opportunity in the back end, that's one exception to go away from the RB1, wide receiver one thing. If you can get another RB1 caliber type there, then that gives you a big advantage, as I mentioned. And so that's what you have to look at from each spot there. In round three, we have T.Y. Hilton to lead it off here at the number 25 pick, and back-to-back Colts and Marlon Mack. So this team, as we had in this league, we added a flex there, so you can't take that third running back early. So we had three wide receivers and a flex here, and that's how we kind of play our sporting news league as well. So this person went triple with Elliott, Williams, and Mack. They ended up with Cooper Kupp and Mike Williams, so you can see later that it paid off at the three running back set here, and that can really sometimes do the trick here. And that's how you had to go when the team that took George Kittle there at the end of round two had to go with the wide receiver to spread it out over three positions, where this other team decided to go right down the line with the running back. Then we look at the next pick, A.J. Green. That's not bad. I think Green is being undervalued as a wide receiver one because people are afraid of the injury, but getting him in the third round, pretty solid there if that would develop in your draft. Then the next two guys, you have Leonard Fournette and Philip Lindsay. Fournette coming off the tough injury-riddled season. Every season seems to be injury-riddled. There are some good feelings that he'll rebound here with Nick Foles in there, an offensive line that'll play a little bit better. But again, really hard to trust. And Philip Lindsay coming off knee injury with a situation where Royce Freeman could be involved. Two teams that are more run defense or defense and running game oriented teams overall. And that makes me feel that Lindsay's going to cede a few touches. I think the one positive with Fournette over Lindsay is they really didn't try to improve the backup situation too much. It's Alfred Blue, as we mentioned last week, versus T.J. Yeldon. So that plays into Fournette's favor there for sure. We had another tight end go O.J. Howard and Zach Ertz. Again, a little too early for me in round three. This is an interesting pick there with the seventh pick of the third round, N'Keal Harry. Now, this is a little bit way high. I think a little bit of a Patriots bias here, obviously. It's not going to happen in your draft too much. Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, Brent Cooks, Devon Diggs. That's kind of the tier that comes up next here. N'Keal Harry, aggressive, but he could very well end up being a key role here. But keep in mind, Julian Edelman is still the top receiver there. And this team was a Patriots fan because they ended up with Julian Edelman there a few rounds later. But that's what you have to watch. Put those aside and be prepared for surprises like that and take advantage of them in your draft. Now, Derrick Henry's a hard guy to rank, and you feel weird about him with Matt LaFleur gone, but still, he's the man. Deion Lewis was just a slight change of pace for this team. So Derrick Henry, this team, again, a second team with three running backs. They end up later with Tyler Lockett and DJ Moore. So three running backs early, especially if you have that flex spot in those type of leagues, you can do that for sure. And I would almost lean that way if I have a flex position. Because having a flex, the rule of flexing, is having a running back as much as possible, and then you're set if you have three backs that you know are going to touch the ball quite a bit. Now, Zach Ertz goes, I think that makes sense. I would not take O.J. Howard. I'm a little bit afraid in this particular round of Bruce Arians and the usage of tight ends. I think they'll adjust a little bit to Howard, but Ertz, coming off a monster season, I think he's a good guy. The one that guy that I would look at more in the third round, I think that goes for George Kittle and Travis Kelce. I don't think about them until the third round, until I'm satisfied with my first two picks, whether two wide receivers, two running backs, or running back wide receiver. So, Sonny Michel, another team tripling up on running back. They end up with Brandon Cooks and Alshon Jeffrey as their wide receivers. So not bad at all to do that. So James Conner, Joe Mixon, Sonny Michel, I'll take that backfield in a heartbeat. And Keenan Allen, again, probably won't last this long. But Keenan Allen saw a little underrated. Could score a little bit more, and that's the thing. It's Mike Williams, could score the touchdowns there. Now, we'll look at round three here. Josh Jacobs went in the pick final of round three at 36 overall. I think it's aggressive, but makes a lot of sense. They love him. They want to run him often. High first round pick. They don't really have anything else there. Rookies. We know Saquon Barkley proved and Ezekiel Elliott proved. Don't be afraid. If you don't know them, just know what their role is going to be. And Jacobs certainly can handle a three down the roll there. So aggressive for Jacobs? Yeah, I think there's a potential that he could go even higher in this process, earlier in round three, maybe even the back end of round two, if we hear more and more of this report. Well, you can listen to Locked On shows anywhere, but make sure you're listening in the car. That's right, smart speakers, and downloading it and playing it have never been easier to do so. So check that out and listen to us on the go. We really are grateful you listen to us anywhere, but we're perfect for driving around and your commute. And today's show is also brought to you by Untuck It. You don't want to have button-ups that look so long and baggy. It's so hard for guys to pull off of that casual Untuck look that isn't slappy, but that's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, use the promo code NBA to get 20% off there from Untuck It. We'll be right back here to look at round four on this part of the Experts Mock Draft Breakdown. All right, let's end the show looking at round four. We've hinted at the few things that we're going to develop here. The wide receivers in this tier, Stephon Diggs going at the end of this round, so that's the last guy you can get here, but Amari Cooper at 37, Adam Thielen at 38, Brandon Cooks at 39. So good little tier of wide receivers here. The team that ended up with the two wide receivers got Jacobs, rebounded with Amari Cooper. So if you're at the back end here, you're looking at really good wide receiver values in the late round. So if you get to round four, maybe that one stud running back and maybe play out that way for you, and three wide receivers that you can plug in your lineup in a three wide receiver start league with a flex, you're looking pretty good. And that's where the values lie here with Cooper, Thielen, and Cooks. How do you make that decision? Diggs, again, in this mix. At the end of this round, Tyreek Hill, we're going to take off the board. He was the guy taken fourth in this round at wide receiver, but he made him available this season. So Cooper, Thielen, Cooks, and Diggs. I think Cooper has a nice baseline now with Dak Prescott. Thielen, I don't know if he could recreate it. I think he faded down the stretch a little bit. Was relying on those 100-yard games. Doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. So you're looking for touchdown upside. I think Cooper certainly has it. I think Diggs might be next year with the touchdown. Cooks always has some opportunities, but seems to let him down. I don't know if I wouldn't even go Cooks over Robert Woods or even Cooper Kupp, because the touchdown potential for both those guys in the same offense at wide receiver. And the next running back here, Aaron Jones, a few question marks about him. I mentioned a team that took Hopkins and Thomas, and Ertz ends up with Jones. So I think you could see a little bit more of Dexter Williams, actually more than Jamal Williams, and that could cut to Jones. Now, we get into the quarterbacks here, and we mentioned that Patrick Mahomes went three outs earlier than anyone else. You have Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers here. Now, I think you have to think about Deshaun Watson in this tier, and he went a little later in this one. And Mayfield, I think, is going to be the conversation as well, Baker Mayfield. But Andrew Luck carrying over from last year, offensive line is good, weapons are good, durability is good, team is good. I think Andrew Luck numbers are there, and that totally justifies there. Wilson a bit aggressive here. It's a run-heavy team in the end. He does have a different type of weapon here with DK Metcalf, but he loses Doug Baldwin, reliable guy there. He's going to lift his team a little bit more. We're worried about the running not being as much. So I would look at Aaron Rodgers more next. Aaron Rodgers did go here at the back end of this round, but I think Wilson a little bit aggressive to put him there. Again, Tyreek Hill was the next pick. I don't think that's going to be happening later, so you slide in probably Robert Woods in that debate there. You get in Devonta Freeman. Again, this is a good value in round four. So is Mark Ingram right after him there at number 46. So Freeman again. Ito Smith is there, but Freeman is wanting to rebound and play strong here, and I think this is a good chance for him there. Mark Ingram there in a good spot. Kenneth Dixon could be in trouble for roster spot. You have Gus Edwards. They do have Justice Hill behind Mark Ingram, but Ingram and Freeman could have asked for better spots here with how things shook up behind them and the changes there at running back. And Rodgers, again, high upside. And Stephon Diggs in the back end of this round, I think one more Ram, Woods, or Kupp should go here. And I think Kenny Golladay also has an argument, and he was taken early in round five. So there you have the breakdown. We'll go over it one more time. You had surprisingly four tight ends go off the board. We had four quarterbacks off the board. Running back dominated the rest of the pick, and wide receiver as well. So again, the core of your team, you can look at it many ways, but I will say I'm an old school guy. I lean towards having those three elite wide receivers or three special backs, depending if you have a flex position. But lean obviously more to the three elite wide receivers and one RB1 if you're in a league without a flex, only three wide receivers. So that's how you break it down. But I think that's how I kind of approach it. This is the year to go back old school, make sure you have that running back foundation, at least one of them, then fill out with the best player available at wide receiver or running back there. So there you have it. There's a look at the first four rounds of a consensus expert mock draft there at Fantasy Pros. We'll be back tomorrow to look at rounds 5 through 8 and really break those down in detail, what you're thinking with every pick. And it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll do that all this week. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.